I'm so delighted to be able to just share my heart with you this morning. I'm particularly delighted to see there's still people in the room. I had a bit of a nightmare last night. I lost my notes. And James got so tired of waiting, he sent you all home. So I'm just a little bit thrilled that there are some people left here. And I have got my notes. We're okay. We're okay. I'm not one that makes New Year's resolutions, mainly because I can't keep them. And by about January the 2nd, I've forgotten I've made them anyway. But this January, I think I was probably on a similar wavelength to James when you spoke earlier. I had that sense of looking back and looking forward and trying to work out just what had happened, really. Feeling a little bit like, have I been living in a grey parallel universe for a couple of years? Because everything I knew for the last 70 years, so now you know how old I am, the way that I shopped, the way that I came to church, the way that I worshipped, the way that I interacted with people, the way that it was gone. It was just gone. And my life just seemed to sort of hang about in this parallel universe. And as I stood in January, it was almost like I felt I was standing in the middle of a roundabout and all these roads were going off and just feeling confusion. You know, what do I do now? Where do I go now? Do I just pick up where I left off? What happens? I mean, there's a degree where you feel actually life can never really be the same again. We've gone through amazing things. You know, for some people coming now through to the end of what seems to be the COVID and masks and everything, there's a cheer. Some people are coming out grieving. Some people are coming out limping. Some people are coming out, like me, confused. Where do we go now? And that was basically what I started to look at. And so the things that I'm sharing with you really are what I feel God has said to me over the last 2 or 3 months. So I started to look through the different scriptures and just, going back to promises and seeing what God was saying. And I ended up in 2 Kings chapter 4. And I thought, God is going to speak to me maybe some stuff about Elijah. But I felt very clearly, no, that wasn't where we're at or where you're at. I want you to look at the scenarios. There's 4 little stories in that chapter. I want you to look at those. I want you to look at the people. And I want you to look at how the people reacted and what they were going through. And so that's what I started to do. So the first 2 little ones, and as they say on the TV, and in no particular order, the first 2 I'm looking at has the most amazing title, Death in a Pot. I love that title. I probably produced some of those when we were first married, but there we are. You can talk to Alan. Now, quite honestly, if I was writing the Book of Kings, if I was writing something for the Bible, if I was writing anything, I probably wouldn't have bothered with these. I mean, they were hungry. They got fed. When you look at everything else that Elijah has done, really, quite honestly, why would you bother to put in something like this? So Elijah and his guys are resting, and the chef of the day decides to make a stew. Now, unfortunately for the rest of the gang, he didn't know which goods were inedible and which weren't. Apparently gourds are the same family as pumpkins, and there are a number of varieties. Sadly, he picked the wrong ones. I'm sure his mates were not very happy about that. And so Elijah tells them to put in meal, it says in some translations, or it says flour. Now, I don't know whether meal or flour neutralizes poison. I'm not that scientific. You'll have to ask James or somebody around that knows. The second one is a man brings 20 loaves of bread. And he looks at the guys gathered. Now, very often in the Bible, it says 100 men. And very often, they mean men plus women and children. We don't know. But he looks at the gang, and he says, I haven't brought enough. Well, you know, now, that does, you know, rings bells of the feeding of the 5,000 and the 7,000. Well, you won't. And Elijah says, no, just, you know, give it out. Everybody will be fed. Everybody will be full. So what are you saying, Lord? You know, I know these stories. And what I felt God saying was, there were moments in their lives when it was just an ordinary, mundane, boring life. But God wanted to break in and take the ordinary and make it extraordinary. I remember James and Becky, John and Abby going to Uganda. One of the first, well, it was the first trip, a little while ago now. And we wanted to bless those children as a church. And so what we did is we bought T-shirts, those of you that remember. And we filled cases with T-shirts. And they trundled off with far more than they should have had. God was amazing. But they trundled off with far more than they should have had. And off they went to Uganda with these T-shirts. But when they came back, I remember John and Abby talking to us and saying, the day that they decided to give out the T-shirts, every single child was in school, which Bernard had never known, because these children were sick, they were ill, some had HIV, some of them were orphans and had just literally moved in next door with the neighbours. And I can remember John saying, the T-shirts were going down very quickly, but the row of children wasn't. And there was a moment when he thought, oh, we're not going to have enough. This is awful. This is awful. What are we going to do? But every child got a T-shirt. So what do we say? Gosh, that was lucky. Oh my, wasn't that lucky? Good job we sent enough T-shirts. I don't believe that. I believe it was God breaking into the ordinary and making it extraordinary. In the Psalms, it says this: I will remember the days, the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago, and I will consider all your mighty works, and meditate on all your mighty deeds. Alan and I have been very blessed. We were able to go to Bible college. We've been to endless conferences. We've heard incredible, incredible speakers. And we've been amazingly blessed. But what do I remember when I meditate? What is it that I remember? I remember having a little family and no money. I remember a box of groceries a few days before Christmas left on our doorstep. I remember a road trip with Alan. I think it was to Gloucester. We'll have to ask Alan after. A bus coming towards us, and a young driver in a black car, I'm not sure he'd even passed his test, deciding to overtake the bus. And all I can see is a black car coming head on. I remember a few weeks ago going to the beach, and we decided to go on a Monday. The kids were in school. It was a lovely day. There wouldn't be anybody there. Of course, there was. And as we go down the road to the beach, so the cars are leaving because there's nowhere to park. And as we get to the gateway, to the car park, this car pulls out and goes, and we pull in. And we'll have an amazing walk, and we go on the beach and the cliffs, and it's wonderful. We get in the car, we shut the door, and it starts to rain. Oh, wasn't that lucky? Good gracious, wasn't that lucky? No. It was the favor of God. It was God breaking into my ordinary and making it extraordinary. Because he loves us. Because he cares for us. For no other reason. Not because we've been amazing that day and here's a treat. No, I'm going to treat you because I love you. Because I want to give to you. Because I want to pour out everything I have. Why do we need to remember? Because it stimulates our faith. Faith is like a muscle. If we don't use it, what is it? Who says if you don't use it, you lose it or something? Faith is a muscle. It stimulates our faith. So when I look at difficulties we have, I remember those things. Well, God, you stepped in there. You did something there. I can believe you for what the future holds. It builds our expectation. Our faith, as it gets built, then builds our expectation. Excuse me. We now have a lovely lady. I cannot imagine what she's feeling. But her husband has died. She's obviously in debt, and the creditors are there waiting at the door. And they're waiting to take her sons into slavery. Elijah comes to the village, and somebody tells him about this lady. The villagers would have known her, I presume. Her neighbours would have known her. And Elijah says to her, what I want you to do then is go into the house. You've got a little bit of oil left. Go into the house, get as many jars as you can. Fill your house with jars, and then begin to pour. Let's see what happens. I've often wondered if she was like me, or if I was like her, thinking, oh my goodness, I'm not doing that. I'm just going to look an idiot. What if it doesn't work? And I've got all these pots in the house. You know, oh, I don't, you know. And I often wonder then, when she'd filled her own pots, would that oil have stopped? Would it have just dried up? But she didn't. She didn't. She got all the pots she could. You know, I just have this, I think in pictures, I'm very sort of, is it kinesthetic? Is that the right? I'm a kinesthetic learner. And I just have a picture of this lady with every nook and cranny filled with pots. And this lovely lady running around filling the pots and in amazement, because every pot is now filling. God's provision just totally overflowed her. So what did God say to me? He said to me, Chris, you're going to settle for the mediocre. You're going to settle for those little pots that are yours. Or are you going to believe me for much bigger things? We know that God has blessed us in new life. We look at tots time and tea time and big fish and the prayer meetings and the, you know, the outreaches that we've done. But is that all that we want? Is that it? Happy with that? Or are we looking for more? Unless we're looking for more, God's not going to give us it. If we're happy where we are, if we're happy with the mediocre, well, this is where we'll be. Is that all we want? Ephesians tells me, now unto him who is able to do immeasurably, not just a little drop, immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. Sometimes I look and think, I do believe that. I do believe that. And what God challenged me on this last couple of months, and I've been a Christian a long time, it's amazing when you still learn stuff or when God is still teaching you stuff that he probably said 10 years ago, you know? I can think of things that are not moving for me in my life, things that I've been praying for, and then it's like God said, so have you asked? He's like, ooh, I might have thought about it. I might have contemplated it, But have I settled for the mediocre? Have I settled for that? Oh, well, it might happen. Or I'm going to say, no, it's going to happen because I'm going to go for it. I want all that God has got for me. I want all the blessing. I want as much as he can pour out. And those two are tied up as we work our muscle of faith. So we begin to not settle for that that's mediocre. We have to, do you know, guys, we have to press. I'm talking to me. Chris, you have to press into God because our communities need us. More so, I think, than ever before. More so than ever before. But we can only overflow as God pours into us. Otherwise, I'm going to hold up my hand and say, I've done this. We've worked and worked and worked and slogged and slogged and slogged, and it's been hard, and we got tired, and we got weary, and we got fed up because we've been doing it in our own strength. We could only reach our communities. We could only bless our communities where God pours in to the degree that it then overflows. The pot overflows, and it becomes natural and loving and gentle. And benefit to us. I mean, I know, you know, it's not selfish to say how good we feel when we bless somebody else. Because in blessing somebody else, God blesses you. It's like a lovely sort of ring that God works through us. And I love this woman, this Shunammite woman. Elijah had prophesied to her, we don't know how long before, that she would have a son. And she does. No, you know. For most of you who know, my little grandsons are just the shining light of my life. Tired? Yes. Realizing my age? Yes. But they're the shining light of my life. This little boy grows up. Goes out with his dad to work in the field. He's taken ill. Dad takes him home, and this little one dies. So she decides now she's going to set off and find Elijah. Her husband says, what are you going today for? It's the Sabbath. Nothing happens on the Sabbath. It doesn't matter whether it's the Sabbath. I'm going. She says to her servant, keep going. It doesn't matter whether you get tired. It doesn't matter whether I get tired. Unless I say stop, keep going. You've got to keep going. And I think there is a point, if I remember, in the journey where he says, you know, shall we have a little sort of coffee break? Nope, we're keeping going. We're going. We're going for it. And what's interesting is when she gets towards Elijah and she can, you know, sort of see him there, his servant Gehazi comes out and he says, are you okay? You know, is everything okay with you? That's paraphrased into our language. You know, are you okay? And she says, yes. Yeah, it's okay. It's fine. Why did she say that? That's always fascinated me. Was there something in her that said, actually, I've got to Elijah now, so it's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. I don't need to worry anymore. We're okay. This woman decided in her heart that she was going to go back to the source. She was going to go back to the source, back to the promises. This time last year, Alan and I were waiting for our daughter's operation. And we'd already had one cancelled, at least one, I think. I think, you know, kept going on and... Amazingly, you know, I have to say, she's incredible. She frightened me to death the other week by telling me she was going to do the Cardiff Half Marathon. There we go. But everybody around us was amazing, and we had so much love, so much support. We had so much, you know, people would send us little texts and messages, and we just felt very upheld by the people around us, by our church family, by friends. We just felt very upheld. But there was something in Alan and I that knew we had to go back to the source. When she was 3 years old, what was it that God said to us then? What were the promises he gave us then when she was three for her life? So much so that Alan was able to get hold of a lady who actually gave us a very significant message for Abby and a word of prophecy for Abby. And he was able to go back to her and tell her, and she was able to stand with us again in prayer. Because in spite of, you know, and because of the love and the support that we were given, but we knew that God said something then when she was 3 years old. It was still as relevant. It was still as powerful all these years later. And it was for her life. And so we went back, took the words that we heard then, and we went back and took them back to the Lord. This is what you said then, Lord. You don't negate, neither do you lie when you give us your promises. When New Life came to Fairwater in 2013, I would like to say it's not because, and it's not because we got a big map out and sort of went like this, you know, there we go, that's the one. I don't think, well, certainly for me, I didn't even know where Fairwater was at the time. Somebody said Cardiff, so I assumed it was somewhere in Cardiff. We didn't know where it was. I know James and David, and I know others did prayer walks. We talked, we evaluated pros, cons. Do we do this? Do we go that way? Do we, you know? Which is sensible. Of course it is. It's sensible. And we ended up, yes, with a building that's boiling hot in the summer and freezing cold in the winter. But you know what? That was God's provision because God spoke to us. It was not a good idea. We need to remember that, I think, at this time. New Life didn't end up here because we all thought, oh, that's a good idea. Because at the time, later on, I'm going to put some pictures out for you to see. It really didn't look like a good idea. But it was God's provision. It was God's provision. And as he brought us in, he was the one that spoke to us about standing shoulder to shoulder. He spoke to us about being watchmen on the towers. He spoke to us regularly about brothers dwelling in unity. He spoke to us regularly of no well-worn paths. And yes, we've known all of that. And we've had to learn. Has he changed? Is he thinking to himself, well, you might be feeling a bit disorientated right now. Oh, maybe that wasn't such a good idea for those folks down there. Oh, well, never mind, let's sit it out. Let's just sit it out and wait. Have we, and I'm speaking as one of the leaders, have we made mistakes? Yes. Have we got it wrong? Yes. Have we always heard the Father? Probably not. But, his plans are still to prosper. He has not forgotten us. Because we have communities that he has brought us to. He hasn't suddenly decided, oh gosh, you know, COVID's made a bit of a mess. I tell you what, let's just sit it out. Whatever his plans are, he has not changed. He's not a God that lies. Do you know what? He's not a God who makes promises and then forgets. Oh, am I glad about that? Am I glad about that? His plans are still to... So where do we go as individuals? Where do we go as a church? We go back to the source. Back to the source. We're incredibly blessed in New Life. We've got amazing people with amazing gifts. Who pray people, evangelize. We've got people with the children. We've got so many people with so many plans, hopes, desires. People who've got so much to offer. And that's great and that's amazing, but where do we go? We go back to the source. Because he's got the master plan. We like to think we have. I do. You know, having little grandsons now has stopped my planning quite dramatically. But we like to think we've got the plans. But we haven't, not really. But when we go back to the source, that's where it's at. When we hear his voice again, when, you know, I'm always amazed that God never comes back to us with, you know, we sit in his presence and it's never, oh gosh, you messed up. What a mess you made. You know, what am I going to do with you? I mean, I used to say that to my own children. But he never says that. He never says that. We're just always totally, totally accepted. Totally, totally loved. Cherished. Absolutely cherished. You know, I know that Alan loves me and I love him. You know, I know about that relationship. But this goes beyond human relationship. The cherishing of God is incredible. Is incredible. But we always need, we must go back to the source. I mean, there is, you know, we look in Fairwater. We've only been here a short while, but we just love it here. And we think, where do we start, Lord? Where do we start? Let's go back to the source. Let's go back to the source. What have you got for us? What do you want to do in us? What do you want for us? I spotted when I was looking through some verses this, and I just thought, yeah, I've got to finish with this. Got to finish with this. Praise be to you, Lord, the God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. For everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over it all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and to give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise, and we praise your glorious name. You know, I might be standing in the middle of the roads and, you know, but he's the one that's got it all. We don't have to manufacture. We don't have to make it up. We don't have to pretend. That's hard work. We just have to listen. We just have to listen. And I think if I'm going to encourage, you know, what I'm saying this to me as well, what I would encourage us to do is to begin again to look for the extraordinary. As we come back into busy lives and our diaries get busy again and life seems to rush forward, we need to train ourselves again to look for those moments where God breaks in. They may not be flashing lights and, you know, fireworks, but you know when God breaks into those moments and turns the ordinary things of life to extraordinary and builds faith in us. We have to make a decision as individuals, as part of a body, whether we're going to settle for mediocre or not. That has to be our decision before the Lord. But then we press in. We press in to the source of our very breath and our lives. We press in again to the source to hear what he's got to say, what he has for us, because his heart is good. And because he hasn't forgotten us. His plans are set in. His plans are there. We just have to listen, hear, and watch. Let's just pray. Father, we just thank you this morning for your incredible love, your incredible faithfulness that has walked with us day by day, has always been there. At those times when we've maybe not even realized you're there, you've never, never walked away from us. And Father, we just want to be a people who just press into you, who want to know more about you, about who you are, want to know more about your love for us, your love for our communities. Father, we just pray this week, Lord, as we face maybe changes again, God, will you just step in and minister and bless. And Lord, speak to us. Speak to us as we wait on you. As we look to you, Father, will you open your heart, open your word to us, we pray.